This podcast is supported by The Real Real.
You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail?
Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hi, I'm Virgie Rodriguez, and this is A Race of Your Own, where we talk about inspiration that leads to resilience. And today's guest, we've had her on the show before. She is a published author, a speaker, and a Latina influential leader. She was named Amplify's Latin Inaugural ALX 100 Award, Involve Heroes as an Executive Role Model in 2023 and in 2022, and US Today featured her as Alpha's Woman of Alpha 2022. And for those of you that don't know, Alpha is the Association of Latino Professionals for America. And welcome again to the show, Ana Jimenez.
Well, thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to be here again.
Yeah. Thanks for being here. So, you know, previously we've had you on the show and we talked about, you know, your background, where you're from. For those guests that and people, viewers that haven't watched the show before, didn't watch that episode before, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure, absolutely. So, Ana Jimenez, born in Puerto Rico. My parents are from Dominican Republic, so I'm proud to be both Puerto Rican and Dominican. I've been living in Boston for over 40 years. And, you know, it's just been a great upbringing with my family. They really focused on just community and organizing. And so I've had a fabulous time with my brothers and sisters. I am a mother of four. I have five grandkids.
Five? I know. Grandkids?
My oldest stepson has five kids. So, yes.
Wow.
Yes. But, you know, we all live in Boston and we have a very close-knit family. So
nice. Shout out to Boston.
Yes.
Boston. I'm a Yankee fan, though. I can't help it. I know. But that's okay. Okay. It's cool.
We're not going to go there.
We'll go to a game one day. But today, you know, and I know we've previously talked about a lot of your accomplishments and you moving in the space of corporate America and in tech and what that was like and creating these transformational management spaces, which I love that term because you kind of coined that term for me. You know, but today we're going to talk a little different. We're going to go kind of get a little personal here. You know, you shared with me, you know, about your journey about being diagnosed with MS and what that was like for you and how that has led to you really, you know, looking at the way you take care of yourself, self-love, self-care, mm-hmm. you know, and I'd really like to delve into that today and discuss that, especially for us Latinos, where food is such a big part of our culture, you know, and, you know, I was sharing with you, I'm like, I remember as a kid, I've been eating fried cheese since I was like 4 years old, you know, so,
queso, you know, frito, queso you frito,
we need that queso frito in there yes. for sure, you know, with the tostones, you
salami,
know, salami, todo. So talk to us about that, you know, and you know, delve in there. Where, when, and how did you kind of realize, what were the signs you started to get for yourself first that you started to maybe think that there was something going on?
Yeah. So I think before I touch into that, you should know who I was before that, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, Ana Jimenez, a social butterfly. I mean, people, it's like, look, I could party. I mean, party, you know, we're Latinos.
Dominican, man.
They know how to party, right?
Of course we do.
I'm the first one at the party. I'm the last one to leave, right? Like, and so I've lived a life of always being super outgoing. Mm-hmm. I'm the party girl. I'm the life of the party, right? And so, you know, last year, towards the beginning of the year, I was sort of feeling... just numbness and tingleness in my hands and my legs. And, you know, we were coming out of the pandemic. I'm thinking nothing of it. I'm like, okay, this is my body saying that I need to get up from this chair, from the couch, from the bed. Like, you need to get some moving. You need to get some workout, you know, start doing something in your life that's not just being sedentary for 24 hours a day.
Right.
So, of course, and typical Latinos, right, we ignore. We ignore stuff, right? We're like, eso no es nada. Ponte un chin de Bengay, un chin de Vicks.
Vicks.
And you're Vicks good to go. Vicks fixes everything.
Everything.
Right?
Shout out to Vicks.
Yes, yes. So, you know, for months, I just completely ignored that this was happening, right? And so, but it got to a point where, honestly, three parts of my body started to be pretty numb.
Wow.
And then, you know, at some point, I mentioned it to my mom, and she's like, what? And how long has this been happening for? And you know, our typical mom's like, did you call your doctor? I was like, of course not, mom. She's like, call the doctor right now. Call your doctor. And she, of course, I did not.
Right.
And for like a week, every day, multiple times a day, did you call your doctor? Did you call the doctor? Did you call the, that's what I got from my mom.
So she, did you feel like maybe, I mean, she's your mom.
She's
moms
mom.
Know.
Right, they know.
Moms are like, like maybe she saw you kind of move a little different or do something
know.
A little different.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, I haven't had that conversation with her, so I'm not sure.
Right.
But, you know, I ended up, what got me to finally call the doctor, I won't forget this. I was actually out here in LA, in Anaheim. I was working, you know, with my company, and it was like, I knew the parts of my body that had been feeling the tingleness, but it went to like my upper arm, and I had never had that feeling there before. And something said to me, this is really not well. Like it resonated in my head, something can't be right.
Something was off for
something
you.
Something was off for me. And so Friday afternoon, I called my doctor's office. I'm in California, right? Just coming home for the weekend. And I called the doctor's office and said, I need to go see somebody Monday. And so I came in, saw the nurse. They were like, we don't know what's wrong, but let's get you some tests. You know, I won't belabor a story, but, you know, it literally took about 4 days for them to tell me that I had multiple sclerosis. Now, you have to understand, I was in the emergency room. I was told by the emergency doctor that you have multiple sclerosis. At that moment, I was like, what is that? Because literally, in my head,
it just didn't resonate.
It didn't resonate. I'm like, what is multiple sclerosis?
It's curable, right?
Like, yeah. Like, right. Like, it's like,
What do I need to take?
I need surgery. Yeah. I need pills.
Yeah.
Let's do, and they're like, no.
Wow.
You're not understanding this. This is an incurable illness. Mm. This is an illness for life. This is like, yeah, you have this. So, of course, what do? Pulled out my phone, started Googling. I was like, okay, what's multiple sclerosis? Oh, my God, what is
Google this? Google doctor is always the way to go because you're like, there's got to be a solution.
Right, there has to be some way to treat me. Like, I went into, okay, how do we fix this? How do we address this?
I'll be fine. Yeah.
Of course, Google does what Google does, which is it gives you the worst case scenarios, right? That's the first thing that came up. You're bedridden. You can't.
It's like you
no
have
motor skin. Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
So needless to say that the first 6 months of this, you know, after finding out about this, I don't know who was driving my body, but it was not me. You know what I mean? It was 1,000% not me. There was someone else took control. I mean, it was the other side of Anna to mm-hmm. control the mm-hmm. out of control of Anna took control. But for a good 5-6 months, I just go to sleep, wake up in the morning, do what I needed to do, go to sleep, wake up in the morning, do what I needed to do.
Something shifted you into autopilot.
Completely. Completely. And yeah. It's like I didn't know. In the midst of all this, they also told me that I may have some cancerous cells.
Oh,
and
man.
So again, I was like, okay.
So you got the MS and you got cancer.
Right. And wow. So luckily they went through surgery, took everything out. Those were benign.
Congratulations.
So thank you. Yes. So luckily I did not have cancer. So that's the beautiful part.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
But you know, it's still a process, mm-hmm. right? It's an emotional process. And they tell you that there's like 7 steps to like grief, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I went through all of them back and forth 1,000 different times. I still go through them all the time, right? So it's like when I first met my neurologist, she was like, yeah, you're in denial and you need to get out of denial. She's like, this is happening. You need to adjust to the fact that you have to have this illness. And you need to deal with it and you need to make decisions. And I'm like, okay, what are the best decisions? You tell me, you're the doctor. She's mm-hmm. like, no. Here's the suggestions. You need to go research. You need to think about what do you think is best for you. I'm like, I don't have time for this. Tell me what it is. Tell me which one I should do.
Right.
What do you need from the,
like,
from the
me
medical
option
plan?
A, B, and C.
Like, right. let's
get with it.
Let's go. Right. Like, let's right. go. You know?
Right, right.
But again, autopilot Anna, right? I'm in autopilot. I am not thinking. I am not, nothing is sinking in. And so it was hard for me. It was hard for my kids. It was hard for my family. Everybody is like, okay, let's come in. Let's help. Let's do all these things.
And you're like, I'm fine.
I'm fine.
Wow.
I'm good. I need nothing. And they're like, every single day, all throughout the day, everyone is calling me. My friends would meet up with me. They're crying. And I'm like, I know why you're crying.
Because
I'm
not crying.
I'm not
wow.
crying. So why are you crying? If I'm not crying, why are you crying?
And you didn't even realize that it was like your neurologist said, it was denial.
Correct. Correct. And so I definitely went through that denial period. I went through the anger. Why me? Mm. Why is this happening to me? Like, what have I done in my life to deserve to have this happening mm-hmm. to me now? It's like, and then I'm like, but I'm feeling good. Okay, fine. I had a little numbness. Fine. Give me some steroids so it goes away, right? Which they did. They gave me, you know, some initial treatment. And so the numbness and the tingleness went away. But mm-hmm. again, I'm in this. I'm good. This is not about to take me down, right? So I'm still trying to do all my things.
It's that fighter. Because we've yes. talked about before, you know, resilience and kind of cutting through that. It's
yes.
like it's like you just whatever adversity, excuse me, mm-hmm. gets thrown your way, mm-hmm. you're just like, okay, obstacle. I have to either go around it, jump over it, go under it. Like
chop
I gotta
it
move
up.
It out, chop what? It up, move it out the way. Like, but this is a different thing.
This was different. Because for the first time, I couldn't control this. Mm-hmm. I had zero control. And I had zero control because I had the illness. And they're like, yeah, you have this. And I was like, are you sure? Like, yes.
Right.
Let us
right.
show you everything.
Right.
And they did. They showed me all the MRIs. They showed me everything. Like, this is where all the lesions are and everything. And I'm like, okay, but maybe something else. They're like, no, this is what you have. Now we're going to treat you. Let's handle that, right? But again, I'm in this space of this is not happening. It's yeah. not happening. I'm not thinking about it. I'm going to try to go through my day to day. But because I knew that something, I mean, you know yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
I got to a point where it was no longer me sort of making decisions, no longer me sort of thinking through things. And then I crashed. And that crash.
What was that like? What do you mean crash? Like what was that?
I broke down. I literally spent a good 4 to 5 days just crying. Just crying. Uncontrollably crying.
Mm.
Like I could be sitting here and tears would, and I'd be like, oh my God, I don't know where the tears are coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, I don't know where that. The tears are coming from. You know what I mean? Yeah. And they would just come out. And so that's what I mean when I say I crashed. I crashed.
Yeah.
But again, I go back to that resiliency, right? That mm-hmm. I cannot be knocked down.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, wipe your tears away. Let's go. Let's mm-hmm. go. Let's keep doing this because I'm not about to let something like that keep me down, hold me back, you know? And it took all of me to get to that point where I can get through those seven stages, right, of yeah. grief,
yeah.
To get to a place where I'm finally in acceptance, where I'm finally at a place where, okay, this is my new normal. How am I going to handle this? What am I going to change? What are the things that I need to do? And that's why I started learning about this healthy journey. Like, I needed to work out. I needed to change my healthy habits, what I was eating, you know, my diet. And so I had to come into this whole new world.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Anna's new normal.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still, you know, still navigating that world, that new normal. Because, again, I'm the party person.
Yeah.
You know, but that's the outgoing person.
That's our culture too, right?
Yes.
Like I said, like you're talking about health and I think acceptance was the big one. Because
yes.
once that sets in, you start to take responsibility, you start to take accountability mm-hmm. for, well, if this is my new normal, then maybe there are some things I need to change, right? To just make it more manageable,
yeah.
right? And
yeah.
food for us is a huge thing because I was telling you the story earlier. Like I, you know, at 7 years old, my mom would be like, "What do you want to eat?" And I'd be like, "Pork chops and plantains, like the greasiest thing
yes.
you can give me." And she'd be like, "Okay,
you
know."
Go.
And then later in life, you know, I go to my family in DR, and I'm like, "I'm just, you know, I'm eating vegetarian."
And you got a big plate of food.
They'd be like, "Veggie what?"
Like, they do not understand what vegetarian is.
Vegan or vegetarian or, yes. or just whatever. And they're like, no.
Yeah.
You know, and I love food.
Mm-hmm.
We mm-hmm. love food, right? So having to change for that, what was like kind of the first step? I know you said you were like working out and stuff,
yeah.
but what was kind of like the first step where you were like, is there like a food that you gave up? You're like, ugh, I have to give this up. I have to.
You know, I think the biggest thing that I gave up was steak. Mm-hmm. And I love steak.
Yeah.
Love steak.
Right.
But it didn't sit well, right? Mm. It would make me too tired. And so one of the side effects of MS is being fatigue, right? And so the days that I had it would make me extra tired. And so again, you start to learn there's certain foods that you consume
mm-hmm.
that just makes your body feel differently. And so, you know, I throughout starting to work out and trying to find different, you know, healthy ways, I actually found Herbalife, which believe it or not, worked for me.
Nice.
I started to do their protein shakes and their teas, which gives me energy because again, my biggest thing was the fatigue,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so I introduced that into my diet. And now, honestly, I only eat chicken and fish, you know, I kind of stick to those every now and then. Like I had, you know, my daughter's birthday party, her big 25th, we have benin.
Of course. Know,
Christmas,
yeah. benin. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's
so I have a little bit of it. You know what I'm saying? But I don't. I really just stay clear from it.
Right.
When I go out with friends, there was one time where I had meatballs, and I was like, "Why?" Because you're like, I'm like, "Oh my god, everyone's having all these meatballs. It looks amazing. It looks so delicious." And then I'm like, "Yeah, note to self. Yeah, I knew
right.
that I should not have had that."
Right.
And then you do it, and you're like, "Yeah, that was not a smart move." So again. Try to be healthy, right? So losing weight, exercising. Exercising is now so big. And my friends, people that know me know that I hate exercising. Like, look, I drive everywhere. I drive everywhere from here to here. I could be going two blocks. I could
right.
be going one block. I'm
right.
still going to get in my car
right, and drive,
to that block. Right. And they're like, right. and it takes you longer to do that. I'm like, it doesn't matter.
Some people love gym culture and other people just... Don't like for me. I'm like I'd rather take a hike any day.
Really,
I'd rather do a hike any day than
God.
To go to a gym because I didn't. You know, like my background is I was a dancer. I was in the dance
yeah.
studio
school that was used for the Big Fame movie.
Yes,
is that
yeah, LaGuardia. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. yeah LaGuardia. That was
cool.
it. Fame school. But so we were spoiled in that sense
yeah.
where we. You know,
this podcast is supported by The Real Real. You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts, but not just any gifts. Real gifts, thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. get used to saying I found it on The RealReal. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail? Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Oh, we had dance studios and we had access to that. So I get that, you know, and then after school, I'd go get a slice of pizza and a Snapple. I'd get a slice of pizza and a Snapple.
Nice.
But what's important to me, too, to touch upon through this was, you know, your levels of grief kind of in that sense and then accepting, right? But, you know, underneath all that to me is like important self-care,
yes,
which leads to self-love, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And really kind of that journey of like mentally and emotionally taking care of that part of your health.
Right. And that was so important, right? Because now I needed to be able to say, okay, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to work out. I'm going to wake up and I'm going to do my shake before I get on that call. Because I came, my culture or my mindset before was like work 24/7 or board meetings, you know, whatever I needed to do, right? Go do all these activities, and that I would always prioritize that all that stuff first. And I had to change. Mm-hmm. I had to recognize that I needed to wake up in the morning because I like working out better early in the morning, and I had to get that workout in. If I didn't do that, it was just that means that day I probably wasn't gonna work out. And that's not good, right?
Right.
Making sure that I had those 15 minutes, you know, to make my shake, to make my tea, to do all the things that I needed to do to set myself up so that as I sat down to have that day-long, you know, meetings, mm-hmm, that I had all the right snacks in place already there so that I could be eating healthy throughout the day. So that it took some adjustment to figure that out. The other big adjustment was going to bed early.
Mm-hmm.
Like being at an event and being like 8:00, 8:30, and my body is saying, girl,
good night.
It
good
is night. Time for you yeah. to call it a night yeah. when I'm usually the person that's out till 2-3 o'clock in the morning and having to be like 8-9 o'clock. Okay, I gotta go. People yeah. are like, Anna, but we're just wrapping up here to go to the next place. And I'm like, sorry, can't join you. That has taken so much for me to adjust. And then knowing that there were nights when I wanted to go out and wanted to party, in those days I would have to either build in a good 30-minute, you know, 15, 30-minute nap that I can, like, take before I would go out. And, of course, adding my little...
We call
know, my
those disco herbalife, naps.
My little lift-offs that, right. that gets me, okay, let's do this. Let me do a really condensed one so I can get all this energy that is going to help me to stay out all night because otherwise... I'd be yawning. Yeah. It'd be 11 o'clock and people would be like, Anna, how are you yawning? It's like, yeah, this I'm tired.
We call those disco naps. I gotta take a disco nap. You gotta give me 15, 30 minutes. I need a disco
Girl,
nap.
But, I did not do that before. Yeah. And so again, part of Anna's new normal is having to adjust and having to find time to let me go to my room. Let me go somewhere, find some quiet time. Now I need quiet time.
Mm-hmm.
I need time just for me to peace. Be able to think, some peace time before I can continue to do all this stuff. So it's been hard. It's been hard.
And, you know, for me, when I found myself in moments where I started to put myself first, it really starts to change your outside world, mm-hmm, in the sense of where you start to get a reflection back of what that love looks like, right? Because yeah. to me, I say it all the time, self-love is key. Mm-hmm. And I really believe, like, you know, going and having a doctor tell you that you have MS, that now, and you're like totally in denial, you're like, me? Like, I party all the time.
Exactly.
I'm fine.
Yes.
You know, and then you have to start to really accept and adjust what that looks like. Right. It makes you slow down. Mm-hmm. It makes you reflect. It makes you go, okay, maybe I need to make some changes in my life. And I always go back to self-love is key because yeah. it for my own journey, when I realized that for myself, what that really meant and what that really looked like, I was able to act in that way towards myself. Mm-hmm. And I was always outside looking for outside validation. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really need to get it from the outside. I just needed to do it for myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And so once I did that, you know, things start to shift on the outside, right?
They do.
Which makes your life easier. Now I'm sure your friends are like, oh no, Enna needs to get to bed by 9 or 10.
Correct.
So then even the people around you start to support that.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And you're so right with the whole self-love, how my friends and family showed up. Oh, it's amazing, right? Because, yeah, right. My friends are like, okay, we're going to do brunch with Enna, right? Because they know. And they know that they're
going to... If we go too late.
Exactly.
It's too late for
her. It's too late for me, right? And so they know that they're not going to be... If they know that I have a lot of stuff or a lot of activities or I'm traveling for work, they're like, okay... And that's going to need at least 1 week of downtime before we're going to be able to invite her out. So they know, right? Yeah, right, because right. Because if I just came back from a work trip, I'm not leaving my house. Like, right. I need downtime.
Right.
Right. And so they know these things, and now they adjust. And it's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the other thing which was important was I'm a giver. I've always been a giver. I am always about putting everybody else first and me last. And that's really the way I've, you know, just led my life. And having to make that shift to now put me first,
mm-hmm.
that was hard. And it was hard because, as you said, that whole self-love, right? And I was like, okay, but if I made all this space and time for everybody else, can I carve out a little bit of time for me? Can I go to that massage? Can I go and just go do my nails and not think about anything, you know? And it really changed my perspective about how I was showing up, because when I did those things for myself, I was happier.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm happier. And then I'm like, okay, I'm happy to go do all this family stuff or friend stuff because I had my me time. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so in the midst of all that, I found things that I love and I'm doing now, which my daughter says that I'm having a midlife crisis because my new thing now has been watching Korean Netflix shows. I know.
Which ones are you watching?
Oh, girl, which one am I not?
Wait, what's up with the Korean? I'm out of it.
I am in the entire K-pop, K-world. It's a rabbit hole. I'm like...
Are they like the new novelas?
Yes, yes. Mija, listen. It is a rabbit hole, and I cannot pull myself out of that. The other thing I did is, like, I've really fallen in love with the K-band called BTS.
Yes. Yes, I've heard of them. Girl. Of course, they're great. I mean, again, as a dancer and a choreographer, like, their choreography, they're insane. So clean.
Yes,
they're
yes.
so on point. Like, even the vibe, they get the vibe of stuff, and I'm like,
it's so on point.
Those guys are brilliant. They're great.
And the messaging. I mean, for me, it's the messaging behind their music. I think mm-hmm. that's what I resonate the most with.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. So my daughter believes that I'm having a midlife crisis because she's like, well, why don't you watch the Spanish telenovelas? I'm like, they don't do it for me. I'm going to go watch the Korean ones. You know, so now I watch Korean, I watch Chinese, Japanese, Thai, the Thailand
but
ones.
That's my solace.
That's my space. No one comes in with it. No, when I am watching my little, you know, shows, they're like, okay, mom is in her zone. and they could be standing right there talking to me and I hear nothing.
Right.
They're like, mom, who are you talking to? It's like, not while I'm watching my shows. Hold on, let me pause. They're like, okay, now I can talk to you.
Yeah. And
that's my heaven. You know,
it's your space. Yes. And I think we've all lived through COVID. You know?
Exactly. And that's where it started, honestly, through the pandemic.
Yeah, I think through that, we're still learning these ways of being for ourselves.
Yes.
Right? And where we can kind of build, resilience, but it's more of just like the everyday resilience, kind of. Like just the day-to-day stuff that, listen, I'm going to go get my nails done
exactly.
because I like to do that.
Yep. Yep.
And somebody else might want to go do whatever, and that's fine.
And that's fine.
This is what I'm going to do, you know?
And I think it's just giving yourself grace and the time to be able to do that, right? That's the message, right? It's okay to take the time to do that because we don't often give ourselves the space and we feel guilt, right? It was like, oh my God, if I'm going to take 2 hours to go get my nails done, but what could I have been doing with those 2 hours? No. You should take those 2 hours and go get your nails and a pedicure and everything you want to get done because you deserve that. Giving yourself the grace to do that,
that was
a big, big lesson.
For me, it's been, you know, I learned that even in projects too, because that was a form of self-love. When I've talked to you about this before, my short film, it's like I gave myself permission to go do that. Yeah, you know, amazing. I don't know why I was waiting for someone else to tell me that I could go do that. Yeah. I was like, why am I, who am I waiting for? Exactly. Like, you know what I mean? Why, I want to go travel. Who am I waiting? Like, if my friends were in a group chat and everybody's like, well, we got it.
Yeah.
I'm go, bye. Mm. Like, I got to go do, you know, it just, we don't, for whatever reason, we just feel like we have to wait for permission. And I don't think you do when it comes to like just actually taking care of yourself.
Right.
Because again, it just leads to this emotional, you know, mental health.
Exactly. You're happier. Everybody else is happier.
Yeah.
And you're taking care of yourself.
And there's something beautiful to see about it being, there's something really beautiful about seeing it reflected back. Mm. Mm-hmm. Especially from the people, because then you can see who really supports you, who's really in your life and really understands what you're going through and is like sitting there listening to what you're saying,
right,
and going, she can't party like she used to. So if we're going to party with Enna,
yeah,
we have to do it during the day, or she's got to be home by 9. Correct. You know, she's got a curfew, you know, whatever, you know.
Or just, she needs a nap.
Or she needs a nap.
She's gonna
Let's
stay
work
out late.
It in.
Exactly.
Right. You know, so... There's something really beautiful about community, mm-hmm, right? And having that community of people. And, you know, sure. I think we've all been in the place where we realize, you know, if there's toxicity around us and yes, what that looks like, and having to cut that out because it doesn't benefit anyone. Mm-hmm. And you can try to talk to people and say, mm-hmm, look, guys, I can't party. You know, I can't, yeah, do this, or I can, but I need adjustments. And then it's like, when people are like, well, you used to, you know, and
yeah,
you go, well, you're not getting it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's different for me now. And whether you share what's happening with you or not. So,
exactly,
you know, there's this really beautiful kind of overarching thing about having this community,
yeah,
you know, of people around you that really support you, besides just family, obviously.
Of course. And I do consider myself super lucky, because I know that not everybody has that close family unit or that close friend unit. I know that not everybody has that. And I consider myself super lucky, mm-hmm, to have such a strong family. Every single member of my family showed up. Every single person was there. My friends, oh my God. You know, there's so many of them that just were there. They continue to be there. They continue to just extend that hand and making sure that I know that they're there and that they will always be there for me. And so, mm-hmm, I felt the love from every single one. People that I've touched, people that I didn't even realize that you touch, that you've impacted their lives. And as they hear about my story, they're like, oh my God, Enna, I know so-and-so who also had went through, you know, who, yeah, also had MS. You know, would you like to connect with them? Would you like to talk to them? So it's being great, able to connect with other folks that also have had, you know, have MS, and being able to talk to them and hear it from their perspective has truly been an amazing experience. So I always say this, because I think luck and bless and being blessed is part of my journey and my story.
Definitely blessings, for sure. Are there any organizations or you know, community members or whatever that you have, that you know of, that you would like to kind of share, and also share with us your, you know, your website, your socials, yeah, that people can connect with you?
Absolutely. So, I mean, obviously through this trajectory, the MS Society has really been the my biggest rock. You know, that's who I went through. And they have so much that they do. And this year, actually, my 1 year anniversary happened to land when they did the MS Walk in Boston.
Wow.
And so it was such an amazing day.
When was that?
April 7th.
Okay.
And so it was so awesome to be able to do a walk with friends and family who all came in, friends who came in from New Hampshire, just to be able to do this walk with me.
Nice.
And so it was such an important thing, and something that I plan on doing every single year.
Amazing. Can they donate? Do they have,
yes,
a place to donate?
Yes, yes. Okay. So they can donate. They can search for my name, Enna Jimenez, and they can do a donation there. And all of that just goes to, you know, trying to find cure, because right now it's called an incurable illness, but I know that there's people doing a lot of research trying to find cure for,
okay,
this. And I'm probably one of the lucky ones that it hasn't impacted me to a point where I can't do everything that I do normally, but I know that there's so many people out there who have MS, who are bedridden, who can't use their hands, who are colorblind, who can't talk. I mean, it impacts people in so many different ways. I when I tell you that, I use the word luck and blessing in so many different parts of my life, because I have this diagnosis, but I am walking. I am talking. I am getting up on stages. I am still being me 1,000%. And this illness has not stopped me. And it won't, you know.
I think that's a testament to, like, in life, things that get thrown our way. Sometimes we just need to get louder. Yes. And we just need to have our voices heard even louder and even more. So congratulations.
Yes. That's why I share it. Yeah. It's important for people to know. A lot of people shy away and they don't want people to know about it. But you know what? I decided to go public. I decided to tell people about this because there's no reason for anyone to go through this alone. You know, at least I had a strong unit there that was there to support me. How many people are going through this and many other things by themselves? And they should know that there's a lot of people out there who are willing to listen to them, who are willing to be there. So people can always connect with me. You know, there's my website, www.anajimenez.com. I'm certainly on all social medias, Instagram, Facebook, Ana Jimenez, on LinkedIn as well. People can find me there and thank you. Thank you for giving me this platform, for creating this space to be able to talk about it and share this journey. And just to be able to let people know that, A, they're not by themselves. B, you've got to start, you know, lean into your family and your friends. And for me to say thank you. Thank you to my family, to my friends for being there, for being that support for me. And, you know, being in this healthy journey, right? Yeah. If someone's out there and they want to partner up with someone in this healthy journey kick, reach out to me. You know, I'm part of this huge cohort of friends. We have like this whole little group chat. We talk about, okay, do you do your protein shake? What did you have for your meal? Are you eating healthier? Did you work out? They kind of, you know, Anna, did you get on that Peloton bike today?
And so they're like, not yet.
I'm like, no, I'm traveling. Yeah. I didn't do that. And so it's just nice to have a cohort of people to push you and you know, just know that you're not in this by yourself. That's the biggest thing for me.
That's amazing.
We're not alone.
That's amazing. You're not. Yes. You're not. You're not. You do have and can build community for sure.
Absolutely.
So thank you for being here. Thank you for being vulnerable, you know, and sharing your story with me. And the authenticity behind that really kind of resonates for me for sure. And I love having you here. Thank you for being on the show again.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And this is A Race of Your Own. This is Virgie Rodriguez. Don't forget to subscribe and stay tuned.
No matter what's on your plate or your mind this holiday season, the UPS Store wants to help. With our pack and ship guarantee, we're helping gifts arrive safely to guarantee more.
They know me so well. Picture perfect gifts.
We're helping guarantee more smiles with our pack and ship guarantee. If we pack it and ship it, we guarantee it. Your items arrive safe or your money back. Stop by your local The UPS Store for holiday help shipping holiday gifts. Visit theupsstore.com/guarantee for full details. Most locations are independently owned. Products, services, prices, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details.